My friends, we want to go to some language recorded in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, written about 760 to 800 years before the Lord was born at Bethlehem. But this language is so important that it was quoted by the Son of God in the 13th chapter of Matthew, the 12th chapter of John, and is referred to in other places in the Bible. As we look at this Old Testament lesson, we're going to see that it speaks about a judicial blindness that came upon the nation of Israel. By judicial blindness, we mean blindness that was sent as a judgment from God. And we should also take heed that this judicial blindness can also come upon those of us when the Lord gives us light of information and we refuse to walk in the light that He gives us. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And He said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." That is, here's people that will hear, but will not understand. Here's people that will see, but they will not perceive. He says, "Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." Then he says, "Then said I, Lord, how long?" And he answered and said, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." He speaks of a judgment that would come upon his beloved people Israel. Now we move about 800 years into the future, and we find in the 13th chapter of Matthew, for the first time in history, the Lord begins to speak in parables. And his disciples ask him this question, "Why are you speaking to the multitudes in parables?" As we say so often in studying Matthew chapter 13 and other places in the Bible, sometimes we must draw a distinction between what the Lord says publicly to the multitudes and what He will say privately to His own disciples. It says, "And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given." And we might ask the question, hath what? The context appears to be understanding and hearing. That is, hearing and not just receiving it with the ear, but being able to understand with the heart. "For whosoever hath, to him shall more be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. But this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with the heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." I trust we're speaking today to people that have seeing eyes and have hearing ears when it comes to the things of the Spirit. We have another reference to this in the 12th chapter of John, after the Lord has performed many outstanding miracles. But it says, "Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake." And here the quotation is from Isaiah chapter 53, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again. Now notice that he quotes this time from Isaiah chapter 6. The first quotation is from Isaiah chapter 53. The second quotation is from Isaiah chapter 6. But he credits these sayings to the same person. He says, because that Isaiah said again. He said this again. Now, this should teach us that the same Isaiah that wrote these things in chapter 6 is the same Isaiah who wrote these things in chapter 53. And you might say, well, that's obvious to me. Why take time to explain that? Because apparently it is not obvious to many of the wise and prudent of this world. There are many in the world that claim that since there is such a great division in the subject material in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah and the last 27 chapters of Isaiah, that these two divisions of Isaiah could not have possibly been written by the same person. And so some of the wise and prudent of this world introduced the Deutero-Isaiah theory, or that is, that there were actually two Isaiahs. But this should be sufficient to dispel that false notion, because the Lord Jesus Christ, who certainly knows how to interpret his own Bible, because he's the one that inspired it, quotes from this second division of Isaiah, from a passage that's found in those last 27 chapters, and he quotes from the first division of Isaiah, and says it was the same Isaiah who said something again. Now the quotation is from Isaiah chapter 6. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with the heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Then we find the Apostle Paul also will quote from this important passage in Isaiah chapter 6. When we come to the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, we'll begin about verse 38. He says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. Notice that he is speaking to the people of God. He is not speaking to wicked people or to persecutors of the gospel, but he's preaching to men and brethren. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. This is one more illustration of this judicial blindness that came upon the nation Israel when the long-suffering of God came to an end with them. And, my friends, we are warned of these very things in Hebrews chapters 10 and 11, that we're not to be wise in our own conceits, that we're not to be boasters, but that the Bible tells us, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. As we think about the subject of blindness, there are different reasons why people cannot see. I have been personally acquainted with several people who were born into the world blind. I've also had some close friends, including a dear minister friend of mine who's gone on to be with the Lord, who have suffered from accidents or have suffered from genetic things that would run in the family, such as retinitis pigmentosa, and they would later lose all or most of their vision. As we think about different reasons why people cannot see, first of all, let us picture an individual that's born into the world blind. We have such an individual and his healing described in John chapter 9. Then we might picture some individual who has been able to see but has lost that eyesight. Then we might picture another individual that has good eyesight, but this person's eyes is covered with several heavy blindfolds. They're not able to see because they have been blindfolded. Then we might think about somebody who has good eyesight, but this person is in a dungeon or a cave or a mine shaft where there's no light, and they're not able to see because they're in gross darkness. As we think about these different conditions, we realize that a different remedy is needed with reference to each situation that I have described. This first individual that we're talking about that was born into the world blind, or individual that has totally lost their eyesight, is someone who would require a miracle from the Lord in order for them to be able to see. In fact, in John chapter 9, when the Lord healed this man who was blind from birth, it was said that this was something that was not heard of from the foundation of the world. It was truly a miraculous event. By nature, all of us are in that condition when it comes to spiritual things. As far as the things of the Spirit are concerned, people by nature are blind to spiritual things. We have quoted recently on this broadcast the plain teaching of 1 Corinthians 2:14, which says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither indeed can he know them. They are foolishness unto him, for they are spiritually discerned." We notice in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul tells these people, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." He does not simply tell these people that they were in darkness, but they were the darkness itself. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." In this same Ephesian epistle, he will describe some people in chapter 4, verse 18, who he says, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ." Now, he uses the expression here that because of the blindness of their heart. Let us remember this blindness of the heart, because a bit later, Lord willing, we want to read about some people who have had their minds blinded, but not the heart blinded. But these folk here who have the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Notice the contrast in which that the Apostle Paul uses to describe these Ephesians who have been born of the Spirit. In chapter 1, verse 18, he will say, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." He says the eyes of your understanding have been enlightened. How have they been enlightened? Because these people, they believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That power that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places is the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. It is the quickening power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to believe on his name. It is the quickening power of the Holy Spirit that has caused the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. So when we look at this first illustration that I have set before you, this person who is in this state of blindness, this person needs a miracle sent from God. And my friends, when an individual is born of the Spirit of God, they pass from darkness to light. The Bible tells us, it's the Apostle Peter who tells us so clearly that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us from darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, that's a beautiful verse, 1 Peter 2:9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." And by the way, that word peculiar does not mean odd or strange, but it means a particular people, a purchased people, "that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." When a person is born again of the Spirit of God, they're given the capacity to understand spiritual things, the capacity to hear spiritual things, the capacity to see spiritual things. And in fact, the Lord told Nicodemus that unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, as we think about another individual that we would set before you, here is an individual that has good eyesight, but they have been blindfolded by heavy blindfolds, and they walk in darkness, very much like the individual that is born into the world blind. There are many of God's people who have been blinded by the false teachers of this world. Each false teacher that comes along, each tract, each booklet that they read that has false teaching in it, each sermon that they hear that leads them astray is one more blindfold. And we find that the Apostle Paul tells us that it is the desire of Satan to blind the minds of people that believe not. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." There are many of God's people that have been blindfolded. And we see Lazarus in John chapter 11. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. His body was in an advanced state of decay. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks those life-giving words to him, "Lazarus, come forth." As we look at this lesson, it is the voice of the Son of God that gives life to Lazarus. But the Bible tells us that Lazarus comes forth from the grave bound in these grave clothes. And also there is a blindfold upon him. This was the customary way that the Jews prepared a body for burial. So the Bible tells us that Lazarus comes forth in this condition. The Lord says to his disciples, "Loose him and let him go." Now, as we think about this, we see that one of the purposes of the gospel is to set God's people free from the blindfolds that have been put upon them by false teachers. Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And back when I was very young, I had lots of older preachers tell me that it's much easier to teach people than it is to unteach them. And I've certainly found that to be true. The old sinner that's been saved by grace, that has not been led astray by the isms and the false teachers of this world, is much easier as a rule. In fact, in every case I've dealt with, some poor sinner that has been dealt with by the grace of God and is seeking to learn, it is much easier to teach the truth to than someone who has dealt with this ism and that ism, and they've read many books and tracts and pamphlets, and they've listened to many sermons by people who have them tossed about with every wind of doctrine. These folk are very, very hard, as a rule, to unteach. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that one of the purposes of the gospel is that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunningness and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And there are many folk who are babes in Christ, and they follow after the latest thing that comes along. And if you want to know what they believe about anything, just find out what book they read last. Then we also find some individuals, though, that are in a place where there is no light. The purpose of the gospel is to bring the light of information. Now, the Spirit of God gives the light of life. But the Apostle Paul, in some very plain language, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now notice that he does not say that he has brought life and immortality through the gospel, but rather that he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You might be in a room that's filled with much furniture and many objects, and yet you might wake up in such a place, and you might stumble over many of these things, but if you turn the light on, you can see that they're there. Turning the light on did not put any of those things in their places, but it allowed us to be able to see the things that were already there. The Lord has promised more hearing to those who will use their hearing. He has promised more light and more vision to those who will use what they already have. There were many among Israel that did not use what the Lord had sent them through the prophets for centuries, and sent them through John the Baptist, and now the greatest preacher to ever live, Jesus, is among them, and there are many that will not hear it, and so the Lord pronounces a judicial blindness upon them. He says, "Take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, that is, hath hearing, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath." There's a saying in the world about different faculties and functions of the human body, and about muscular strength and coordination. If you don't use it, you lose it. And sometimes that's true of our hearing. It's true of our spiritual eyesight. While we do not lose our eternal salvation, yet we can lose many of these gifts and talents if we do not exercise them. May the Lord give us grace to serve Him more. Until this same time next week, may richly bless you.